This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, station KUWS. The Martin and McKenna Show is on the air. Well, it's Monday night, folks, November 4th, 1940. Jack McKenna saying hello, 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 hello. Lou Martin is standing by with the City Market 6 o'clock news. We'll have all the news for you as people head to the polls tomorrow to decide if President Roosevelt should stay president. And we've got the best music around. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by City Market, where proprietor Henry Cohen has fancy sirloin steaks for just 17 cents a pound. Hiya, Lou. Busy these days?
As a matter of fact, I am.
You'd think there was an election going on or something.
That's not cute or coy. Good evening, good listeners. Tomorrow, voters get the final word on what is being called the closest presidential race since 1916. Speaking to the Women of America group in New York, Republican standard bearer Wendell L. Wilkie promised not to send their husbands, sons, and brothers to their deaths on a European battlefield. Mr. Wilkie, a veteran of the World War, said, quoting now, "I know war firsthand, and I hate war," end of quote. Campaigning in his home state of New York, President Roosevelt asked for a vote of confidence for his unprecedented third and final term. Mr. Roosevelt arrived at the Roosevelt family home in Hyde Park to wait out tomorrow's return. We begin with this report from the United Press.
This is Lyle C. Wilson in Washington. The 1940 presidential campaign, fired white-hot by war in Europe and the Orient, ends today with the outcome in doubt for the first time since Woodrow Wilson defeated President Howard Taft in 1916. Both Mr. Roosevelt and Mr. Wilkie urged citizens to exercise their solemn right of suffrage tomorrow. Communist Party candidate Earl Browder and Socialist candidate Norman Thomas urged people to vote for peace by not voting Democrat or Republican. Former Postmaster General and Democratic Committee Leader James Farley telegraphed county offices, urging them to get every Democrat out to vote tomorrow. Mr. Farley resigned as Postmaster General after opposing FDR's third term at July's Democratic National Convention. New York Mayor Fiorella LaGuardia sent out a warning to voters. As chairman of the National Committee of Independent Voters, Mayor LaGuardia criticized the Republican Party for kowtowing to corporations. Quoting the mayor, "The Goebbels and Himmler of the Wilkie administration would be General Motors, Ford Motor Company, International Telephone and Telegraph, Westinghouse, Remington Rand, and Standard Oil," unquote. American Federation of Labor President William Green is nonpartisan, but Congress of Industrial Organizations leader John L. Lewis is calling for the defeat of what he calls the erratic, warmongering leadership of Franklin Roosevelt. Both predict labor will determine the outcome of this very close race. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson, United Press.
This is Ray Tucker with the World Whirligig in Washington. Wendell Wilkie will be the next president of the United States unless all of the political signs are cockeyed. Franklin D. Roosevelt's effort to kill the two-term tradition will be turned down by a sizable popular vote. This writer gives the Republican nominee at least 290 electoral votes when only 266 is needed to win. But it would not surprise this forecaster if he exceeds 300 electoral votes. Aside from Mr. Wilkie's gallant struggle against the most entrenched administration in American history, there are twin issues that will sweep him into the White House. The first is Franklin D. Roosevelt's third-term aspiration and its connotation of dictatorship, and his to-hell-with-the-people-and-the-party attitude. Second, and most compelling, his re-election is seen by many Washington insiders as a mandate for American involvement in the European war. I say it'll be President Wilkie in the White House. With the Washington Whirligig, this is Ray Tucker reporting, calling Italy, come in Rome.
This is Fascist Italy, your correspondent Virgil Pinkley in Rome. British bombers caused Naples' first air raid alarm in more than 2 months, taking the air war to the Italian people. Air raid alarms were also sounded here in Rome as the populace spent 1 hour and 45 minutes in shelters. The fascist high command says the Royal Air Force was met by a barrage of anti-aircraft fire. Meanwhile, the Italian campaign in North Africa continues against British troops and planes near Egypt. Italian high command also reports that its forces have entered Kalibaki in northwestern Greece. My international sources tell me that the Italians are meeting stiff resistance. In Rome, this is Virgil Pinkley calling Switzerland. Come in, Harrison Salisbury.
This is Pam Switzerland calling. Harrison Salisbury reporting. High fascist and Nazi officials are meeting here to discuss what observers believe will be a push toward the Suez Canal. A German drive would push through Turkey's Dardanelles. Diplomatic quarters say the Nazis are massing troops in Romania and will assist the Italian stalled effort against Greece. We'll then march on to North Africa, cutting the British oil supply. If that occurs, it is believed Great Britain would be forced to sue for peace. This meeting here in neutral Switzerland includes German Foreign Minister Joachim von Ribbentrop, Nazi Police Chief Heinrich Himmler, Italian Foreign Minister Count Galeazzo Ciano, and Nazi Ambassador to Turkey Franz von Papen. Indeed, if Germany's blitzkrieg were to smash through neutral Turkey, it would open the gate to Syria and Palestine and the vital Suez Canal. Bern, Switzerland, this is Harrison Salisbury reporting.
Greek newspapers say they expect help from the British Army. The newspapers report that Britain will send three divisions, or 45,000 men, to Greece. City Market 6 o'clock news time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Henry Cohen is proprietor, and Henry has, well, he has just outdone himself again today. Eggs, 18 cents a dozen. Pork chops, fancy center cuts, per pound, 15 cents, is that a bargain? Genuine lamb chops, 14 cents a pound. Potatoes, good Wisconsin spuds, by the bushel, 52 cents. My, oh my. Veal chops, 2 pounds for 25 cents. And soups. Hey, Henry, how do you do this? Phillips tomato, vegetable, 14.5 ounce cans, 5 cents a can. You can't believe it, but it's true, folks. Get down to City Market as soon as you can. And remember, we accept orange and blue stamps. Lou?
An extremely heavy voter turnout is expected statewide in Wisconsin tomorrow. Capitol reporter John Powell has more from Madison.
President Roosevelt is expected to carry Wisconsin handily tomorrow. FDR garnered more than 800,000 votes to Alf Landon's 380,000 votes in 1936. He also won by a wide margin when he defeated President Hoover in 1932. Second only to the presidential race are the contests for governor and United States senator. Senator Robert La Follette went to the Senate in 1925, succeeding his father, fighting Bob La Follette, who died while in office. Old Bob held the seat since 1906. The men who would unseat young Bob are Horicon industrialist Fred Clausen on the Republican ticket and Democrat James Finnegan, a Milwaukee lawyer. Governor Julius Heil is seeking a second two-year term. Attorney Orland Loomis is running as a progressive, and former Governor Francis McGovern opposes him as a Democrat. All-time high voter registration has been recorded in Wausau, Milwaukee, Madison, Marshfield, La Crosse, and Two Rivers. Reporting from the state capitol, this is John Powell speaking.
Races to watch in the Superior region include Progressive Party Congressman Barney Gehrman of Mellon. He's opposed by Republican Peter Von Nostrand and Superior Democrat John Green. In Bayfield County, the contest arousing the most interest is for sheriff. Incumbent Jalmer Frostman can't run again since under state law they forbid sheriffs from serving three terms. So his former undersheriff, Andrew Gidloff of Washburn, faces progressive candidate Harry Kennedy of Iron River. The district attorney's race is also interesting since a woman is running. Incumbent Walter Norland of Port Wing faces Elizabeth Hawks of Washburn. Miss Hawks ran as both a Republican and a Democrat in the primary. Mr. Norland has held office since 1937. The master list of the men eligible for the draft arrived in Douglas County today. Draft Boards 1 and 2 will begin calling the pioneer group of young men for the military. Nationwide, 30,000 men will be called by December the 1st, and 800,000 men will be drafted by next June. The Navy's called up a local teacher, manual arts teacher John Bergstrom of the Cooper and Blaine Schools will join the Paducah from Chicago to Brooklyn's shipyard. A large group of men have mustered in Duluth and will head to Chicago on the Paducah. Mr. Bergstrom has been a teacher in the Superior Schools for 10 years. He has a wife and children. School Superintendent W.R. Davies is urging teachers throughout the city to attend church this Sunday in observance of National Education Week. Mr. Davies said the theme this year is enriching spiritual life. He says if public education is to get the spiritual impetus that it needs, teachers themselves must hold steadfast to the truths of religion. And finally, Jack, one of the largest classes of the Monday Blues was held in municipal court this morning. 11 men were given fines of $10 for common drunkenness over the weekend. It's uncertain if the post-Halloween or the pre-election is to blame.
I wonder what uncommon drunkenness is. Well, thanks, Lou Martin, the best doggone newsman in the room.
We'll have more electioneering ahead on this show. The sheriff's candidates will come in and debate. I've carefully worked out the rules for an orderly debate.
Uh-oh. Sheriff's candidates carry guns, don't they? Well, let's check the weather for this Monday, November the 4th, 1940. We could get a little snow tonight, believe it or not, friends. Expect a low around 28 degrees and partly sunny skies tomorrow, but chillier with a high at 40. Maybe it'll melt the snow. Let's kick things off now with a good number from that popular crooner Bing Crosby, who was on his way up, no doubt, and Sweet Georgia Brown on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Gal maid has got a shade on, Sweet Georgia Brown. Two left feet, but oh so neat, has Sweet Georgia Brown. They all sigh and want to die, Sweet Miss Georgia Brown, and I'll tell you just why. You know that I do not lie, not much. It's been said that she knocks them dead when she lands in town. Since she came, it's a shame how she cools them down. Fellas she can't get, must be fellas that she ain't met. Georgia claimed her, Georgia named her, Sweet Georgia Brown. It's been said that she knocks them dead when she lands in town. Since she came, why, it's a shame how she cools them down. Fellas she can't get, must be fellas that she ain't met. Georgia claimed her, Georgia named her, Sweet Georgia. They call her Sweet Miss Georgia Brown.
Hey, Bing Crosby crooning like no one else can. And Sweet Georgia Brown on station KUWS. Friends, If you're traveling down Milwaukee Way, the place to stay is the Hotel Medford. Enjoy dinner in the Bamboo Room. Sleep comfortably in a double bed with your own bathroom. And then have a good breakfast in the Caribbean Room. All that for $3 a night, $5 per couple. It's a special place at Milwaukee's Hotel Medford. And you can be sure to get some good home-style food at the Ford Hopkins Drugstore Tea Room. Their special is a tender, juicy T-bone steak with all the trimmings. I'm getting hungry. For just 35 cents at the Ford Hopkins Tea Room. All that makes me hungry and sleepy at the same time. So let's wake up with Glenn Miller and his orchestra from the 1940 hit parade. Here's the biggie, the Chattanooga Choo Choo, on the Martin and McKenna Show. A biggie on the charts. The Chattanooga Choo Choo by Glenn Miller and his orchestra bringing us home. Hiya, Lou. What's all that noise out in the hall?
Well, that's round one between supporters of who will be the next sheriff of Douglas County.
They don't sound too law-abiding to me.
First, we'll have these announcements paid for by the Douglas County Republican Party.
Now?
Yes, now.
Thank you to every mother in America. Are you going to vote for Roosevelt, who lets his son sit behind a desk as a captain, a military royalist, a young man without previous military training, but who will have a captain's rank, pay, privileges, and safety? Are you going to vote for a man who does not give every mother's son the same treatment he gives his own? Think, mothers, think!
I don't like him shouting at moms.
It's a paid announcement, Jack. He can pretty much say what he wants.
Elliot Roosevelt's unearned captaincy is more serious than you know. There is no special privilege for your boys in the draft or in the dangerous times that lie ahead.
So far, it's not catchy.
Vote for a fair deal, not a raw deal.
That's catchy.
For our country's sake, stop a third-term dictatorship. Go along with George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson, and Woodrow Wilson, who saw the evils of a third term. Vote Wendell Willkie and Charles McNary as president and vice president. Keep Governor Julius Heil in office. Vote Republican. Authorized and paid for by the Douglas County Republican Club, Dr. Sundquist, president.
Hang in there, folks. This will all be over with tomorrow.
We've got the sheriff's debate next.
But first, friends, let's enjoy some fine swinging music. This is Bunny Berrigan, his trumpet and his orchestra, with Frankie and Johnny on the Martin and McKenna Show. Johnny Berrigan and his orchestra, and Frankie and Johnny on station KUWS. Knew them both. Now a special presentation by the hopefully safe and not sorry news department. Moderating tonight's forum is Lou Martin.
Good evening. We will hear from three candidates for Douglas County Sheriff, each in his own turn for 2 minutes, followed by a closely timed 30-second rebuttal. Jack, you'll be the timekeeper.
I am? But my watch doesn't have a second handle.
First to speak is Republican challenger Arthur Sedin, followed by independent candidate Kitchener Thompson, then incumbent Progressive Party Sheriff Frank Carlson. You may begin, Mr. Sedin. Jack, start timing.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi,
time
three
quietly,
Mississippi.
Quietly, Jack.
First of all, I want to make it clear that I am not the Arthur Sedin who served time in a penal institution referred to in Sheriff Carlson's latest newspaper advertisement.
Are you insinuating that I was insinuating that you are the guy who did time?
Sheriff Carlson, please, wait your term.
That's a turn, Lou. Wait your turn.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Please continue, Mr. Sedin.
Well, as I was saying, if I'm elected sheriff, I will be an active sheriff who will discharge his duties with all due courtesy to the public.
Ha! Please, Mr. Thompson, no side remarks until Mr. Sedin is finished.
Yeah, I think he's finished already.
Am not.
There are two.
Please, gentlemen, some decorum.
As long as we're doing some insinuating around here, how about you, Carlson? Mr. Play Favorites to Racketeers.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that gossip, but it's nothing but a low-down smear campaign. Well, gentlemen, let's have some dates and times and names, Buster.
You asked for it. You asked for it, Carlson. You thought I was bluffing. Kitchener Thompson doesn't bluff. This is supplied to me by a Mr. Alvin Anderson.
You tell him, Kitch. You tell him about the slot machine racket going on and the after-hours violations. Your deputies just turn a blind eye is what.
No, wait a minute. My deputies are as right as rain. There might be a slot machine racket, but if you know about it, how come you haven't turned it into us like a good law-abiding citizen?
Tell him, Kitch. You got the proof.
Time, November 19th, 1939. Place, Red Top Tavern in the town of Superior. Proof, read it in the court records. That's when one of your deputies assaulted a young man playing a slot machine.
And he arrested that young man.
At 4 a.m., long after the Red Top was supposed to be closed.
So? He was just doing his job enforcing the law.
Except your deputy was a regular at the Red Top. Like I said, your people play favorites and break the law.
So I fired that deputy. I was firm, and I was decisive.
Only after that deputy made you look bad. Folks, I'll offer a square deal to the common man. No favorites. I won't kowtow to racketeers.
Unless the price is right.
Hey, I'm the guy who'll stand up for the common man. You stole my line.
Who? You accusing of stealing?
Yeah, you, that's who.
You too, that's who.
Decorum, gentlemen. Decorum.
All right, sorry. I'm carried away. Here in a moment.
Carried away. You're right. That was fun.
120 Mississippi. Time's up for Art Sedin.
You are a slow counter.
Hey, how come you guys are all wearing the same shirts?
Well, it's bowling night. We leave here for center bowling lanes.
You three guys bowl together?
On the same team?
Yeah, so?
We call our team the Kegling Enforcers. Kind of snappy, eh?
Yeah, and we're pretty good, huh, boys?
Oh, yeah. Frank throws a mean gutter ball.
Hey, why, you big lug, I oughta...
This is weird. On with the music. Let's hear one for the bowling lawmen. This is Vaughn Monroe and his big hit from this year's 1940 hit parade, Riders in the Sky, on the Martin and McKenna Show.
That old cowpoke been riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a-plowing through the ragged skies and up a cloudy draw. Were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard and he heard their mournful cry. In the sky, faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught 'em yet, 'cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky. On horses snorting fire, as they ride on, hear their cry. Yippee-yi-oh! Sloped on by him, he heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, riding on our reins, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride, a-trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies. Yippee-yi-yay.
Indeed, another hit for Vaughn Monroe for our contenders in the sheriff's race. Riders in the Sky on station KUWS. By the way, Lou, nice job moderating that debate.
I lay down rules, I set things up, and then it's anarchy.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
But it was a free-for-all. They weren't listening to me one iota.
Well, at least nobody got shot.
That would have been swell. Sheriff candidates die in a shootout at a radio station while newsmen urge decorum. I'll be glad when tomorrow's over. That's all I've got to say.
Remember, folks, to vote early and vote often. We'll start your day with the NBC Breakfast Club, the news from United Press, and then Houseboat Hannah, A Woman's World, one of Lou's favorites.
It's entertaining, yet informative. Thank you.
The guiding light is on at 10 a.m., followed by The Man I Married. Well, we'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, friends. The good Lord willing, that is, and the sky doesn't fall. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, Peter Nordgren, John Munson, John Munsell, Tom Martinson, Don Mason. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.